to start the next year. It's really a special chus for our shul, for our community, to have Rabbi Carrigan come and speak to us this morning. We're grateful that she gives us more than one chance to host her, and every time it's really amazing. And so thank you for all that you do, for all the many kids in this community have grown and learned so much Torah from you, and many adults and have learned from you, and we're really appreciative of everything that you do for Klal Yisrael, and especially for us here in Post Lawrence. So,
Thank you so much, and it truly is
an
honor both as advocating with us. The Asamia, thank you so much. Really, so too. Hi, Marlinsky, well, put this together, the entire educational committee. Ari, who last minute, Superman, always prepared the Makorota. Thank you. And that's all of you who on that Sunday morning came out to learn more Torah, and especially this foot, because after canceling three trips to Chutz Laaretz, while we had three sons in the army, this is really our first opportunity. Certainly for myself, to share some Torah with Chutz Laaretz. And I think particularly now, and I don't just mean in the wake of the war, but now, right between Chodesh Shvat and Chodesh Adar, and especially two Adars where we have more of an opportunity to learn, to grow, to anticipate not only Simcha, but the juxtapositions in the month of Geula, what a wonderful opportunity to really see Talmidot from years past, their friends, and the Esrat Hashem continue this community of learning. But as Rav Carrigan addressed, this is an opportunity for all of us to truly implore of ourselves what we can do to change the trajectory of the Jewish people. And just as right after October 7th, I think we all heard the echoes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every single Parsha HaShavua. It was truly remarkable. We opened up Parsha Bereishit and we heard the Or, the Choshech, Parsha Noach, the eradication of Hamas, Parsha Lech Lecha, Pidyon Shvuyim, Parshat Vayera, Akidat Yitzchak, the sacrifice of our children, and then continuing the legacy of Sarah Imenu over the land and the nation. Toldo, literally Yitzchak's Be'erot in the area of Re'im, of Aza, Ekilawanan. But ultimately, we're going to pay attention to this week's Parsha, because this week's Parsha, Parsha Truma, addresses a fundamental issue that we all also have to ask ourselves. And that is that, albeit Rav Carrigan spoke about the unity that is perhaps somewhat ephemeral, we're hoping that it won't be. We're hoping that it won't just be an achdut that has come because we're fighting a common enemy, but the sentiments that we feel on the streets, not only of Yerushalayim, but of Tel Aviv right now, we're truly hoping that they last. Do you mind if I ask how many of you have really gone to Eretz Yisrael? Mitzuyan. Okay, that means that anyone who didn't raise your hands, I don't want to embarrass you. That means that you should all get up and go to get a sense of what's going on. And I don't just mean going down to Kfar Aza, and I don't mean seeing or having literally firsthand testimony to the massacre that occurred, but rather to see and to feel Am Yisrael at its best. Okay, everyone saw Am Yisrael literally shining through our pain. And it's a little one. I feel that later. Everyone who is not getting a sense of that. But the question is, how does it last? And in fact, this week's parsha actually addresses that. Can you imagine on Israel right after Mount Sinai? They saw thunder, lightning, heavenly clouds. And now the next day, they're going to open up their windows to their tents. They're going to walk outside. They're going to see Har Sinai there. All of a sudden, those same feelings, those sentiments, the chavaya, as we call it in Eretz Yisrael, the experience of that amazing theophany of God, that sounds of light show of Aseret HaDibrut, where they actually saw the kolo, the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Rambam and Ramban both agree, that Am Yisrael, each individual, experienced Nevuah, they experienced prophecy, and the very next day, nothing. How do you hold on to that? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers that, as the Ramban explicates, Zeh Sod HaNesham. Hashem says, I don't want you just to await the sounds of light show every once in a while. Rather, you're going to take this with you. Vasuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'tocham. So you're going to take, more or less, that vertical Har Sinai, and you're going to transform it into a horizontal mishkan. Or as the Midrash tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says right after the wedding day, make a mini mishkan, make literally a microcosm or a diorama of Har Sinai Make it in your homes. And as we know, these homes aren't just the literal 3D structure of the tabernacle, but the Levavim Mishkan and Min. This is something that we can certainly take with us. So what happens, just as there was Dibur on top of Har Sinai, there's going to be speech coming out of the Kodesh Kodashim between the Kruvim on top of the Kapuret. Just as there was fire on Har Sinai, there's going to be the Ner Tamid and the Menorah in the Kodesh. Just as there was a Panim on Panim, a face-to-face relationship, Hashem commands that we have Lechem HaPanim on the Shulchan, just as there was a Mizbeach on the foot of the mountain, wherein everyone was able to sacrifice their Olot and Shlamim, so too, a Mizbeach HaOlah in the Chatzer of the Mishkan. But at the same time, there are a few components of the Mishkan that we didn't have by Har Sinai, namely the Paruchet, some type of division, a curtain, between that word of God and even the Kohanim. A ketoret, mizbeach haketoret, and the incense that's going to form a cloud, some type of separation. Because Hashem says, it's not really so healthy. It's not really so natural to have such a revelation of God every single day. You need some type of protection. If you're going to live with God, you have to understand what that means. And you have to constantly revisit and recalibrate this relationship. And that's what we're going to do right now, taking a look at one of the components of the Mishkan that we take with us, taking a look particularly at the menorah. Because when we look at the menorah, we recognize that it's not just about the fire of God, because if that's the case, then a Ner Tamid, then a singular lamp would suffice. But rather, let's take a look at this menorah, and we're going to see for ourselves some of the very clear messages that the Torah is trying to teach us, not only for then, but certainly for now. As we know, the menorah has to be a solid piece. It's not only going to contain goblets, it's not only going to have the fundamental structure called actually that central piece of the menorah, called the menorah, but it also has prachim. It's going to have adornments. It's going to be a very stylish menorah. But what's so significant? We find that the Torah actually elaborates on more than any other component on these decorative features. Because beyond hearing about the kamim, three on one side, three on the other side, of the central factor of the menorah, we hear shlosha gbi'in mishukadim bekaneh achad, kaptor baferach shlosha gbi'in mishukadim bekaneh achad. And this, as we know, is a question that the Parshanim asked with regard to each one of the utensils of the Mishkan. Why do we have to hear so many details? Why can't it just tell us, oh, by the way, they weren't just flowers. They were flowers that had almonds on it. But now the Torah goes into great detail. Yes, there were the im and all these goblets that are going to hold the oil of the menorah. They basically are mishukatim. They have almonds on them. They kind of have kaftor. They also have literally these buttons or these stones, and then prachim mishukatim. And they all have almonds, more almonds around there. Mishukatim, again, more of these adornments, telling us, yes, this is what was all over the menorah. There were flowers, there were blossoms, and there were many, many almonds. Now, obviously, not fresh almonds, but almonds that are engraved, keeping in mind that it has to be mishah chatzahav. These are golden almonds, not attached to, but rather formed. What a beautiful artistic piece that any sculptor today would find a challenge. And Chazal say, particularly this menorah, Moshe Rabbeinu not only saw, but as Rashi says, the Kadosh Baruch Hu had to form this, because it was even too sophisticated for the architect Bezalel. But what's interesting is that this isn't the only appearance of a menorah. And this isn't only the only appearance of a shakeid of almonds. But as we know, the greatest parshanut for Tanakh is the Tanakh itself, what we call internal exegesis, appreciating how the Torah or the Nevi'im of the Ketuvim are going to explicate and expound upon so many different ideas. So sure enough, when else do we see this menorah? We see it and we read about it on Shabbat Hanukkah. And I don't know about you, but I was really looking forward to the end of the war being Hanukkah. I thought that would have been a perfect time to end it, don't you? Yes, and it's so great. The next best time is Purim, and that's for another year. But really, Purim would be perfect time. And I'm just warning you, because Purim is also the time when the Chutz Jewry has to wake up and realize that this isn't going to be. Okay, but back to Hanukkah. So Hanukkah, in fact, not only is that the closure for Sukkot, as we know, not only is it 8 days, not only Mahadrid, not only during the time of the Hashmonaim themselves, they couldn't fully celebrate Sukkot. So they basically celebrate Sukkot after Hanukkah. So that would have been a perfect closure for the war, but primarily because the war itself began on the same day that we said Mashiach HaRuach HaMorid HaGashem. So I applied. The government actually put out a proposal. They don't like the name, and I never liked the name of this war, Harbor Barzel, Iron Swords, named after the symbol of Hamas, to basically anticipate the annihilation. But it really is a very, I don't know, horrific name. So I propose what should be renamed this war, Mohammed Mashiach HaRuach, the restoration of spirit, not only because that's when we began to say Mashiach HaRuach HaGashem, but we truly do see a restoration of spirit, that spirit of Torah, a spirit of Achdut, particularly in the wake of so many months of polarization and vociferous dichotomy within Am Yisrael. And therefore, it really is essential to appreciate what the spirit of Ruach is, because we turn to this famous Haftarah of Shabbat Hanukkah, where we read about the menorah, and we read that what is the symbol of the menorah? Zachariah is supposed to tell Zerubbabel, the military and political leader at the time, Lo b'chayah v'lo b'koach, ki im b'ruchi amar Hashem tzvachot. But let's take a look at this menorah. This menorah, in fact, doesn't seem to be the exact replica of the menorah of Parshat Truma, but rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks, Ma ata ro'eh? HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of Zachariah, what do you see? What do you see before you? And this is very strange because we're going to find that not many Nevi'im are asked this question. And apparently, this question, as we're going to further see, is really a question of looking at a vision of prophecy that has precedence from misinterpretation. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu implores of Zachariah, what do you see? Hashem is saying, be very careful. Because I know what you may think at first glance, but take a look a little deeper. Ma'at haro'eh. But here it's very easy because Zachariah says, "Ra'iti b'nei basically, I see this big lamp and it has a big, literally a gula, a hator, a marble. And there are seven branches and they're leading into seven candles or basically seven oils. And I see two olive trees upon them and the olive oil is going through these seven pipes into this lamp, and I see it before me. But ultimately, the malach who accompanies him even says, okay, so Zachariah, now you see it. What do you want? You understand what it is? And he says, no, I don't. It's very blurry. I don't really know what it is. Ma ilat mi. And the malach says, come on, you can do it. Halo yadata mahina. He says, no, I don't. And the reason he doesn't is because Zachariah lives in a time of relative darkness. He lives in a time of confusion. He lives during a time that we know that on one hand, Am Yisrael have returned to their land already in 535 BCE, and they've been there for 19 years almost, trying to build the Beit HaMikdash, trying to rebuild basically this menorah, and they've been unsuccessful for military, for political, for economic reasons. And therefore, he's looking at this menorah and he's wondering, what does it mean? What does it mean? Is it a sign that we are going to have the Beit HaMikdash? And he's already told Am Yisrael, you have to start building. And we know that there was a 19-year difference between the actual return of Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael and the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, just as beautifully in 1948 we returned. But it also took us 19 years to rebuild Yerushalayim. Just to put this in historical perspective, we left Gush Katif exactly 19 years ago. Maybe now it's time as well. But back to the message, a very blurry message. The Malach explains, no. This isn't about the Beit HaMikdash. I know that's how you could have misinterpreted it. Rather, this is a symbol of your military victory. In other words, you're not going to win through tanks and through machine guns. Lo b'chayah v'lo b'koach ki im b'ruchi. It's going to be this ruach, literally the spirit of the fire of God. Do you remember the menorah? The menorah is a replica of the fire of Har Sinai. This is what you take with you. And you don't just take it with you in a mishkan and then leave that tabernacle. Rather, you take it with you when you go out to war. You don yourself with tzitzit. You sing anachnu maminim b'nei maminim. You have a wonderful barbecue hosted by Haredim and Chilonim alike. And then you go into that. That's the spirit. This is the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you take from Har Sinai and the mishkan, and you take it out with you to the battlefront. That's how you keep it with you. As I'm sure many of you have heard, as soon as people cross, the soldiers crossing the border into Gaza, everything else disappears. It really is this ruach, a ruach of achdut, a ruach of knowing that this is your shlichut. I remember when our oldest son Asher, he was called up the day after October 8th. He was called up as a doctor to go and complete a doctor's training course so that he could go and fight as a doctor. And he finished the course in 3 days. They sent him home that Wednesday. He returned home at 9 a.m. They said, "We'll call you when we need you." 3 hours later, they called him, "We need you." And he came to our house so we could give him a bracha and say goodbye. He was going in with an officer's unit that they were in the middle of their course and they weren't divided up yet amongst different units in the army. So he was going in as their doctor. And he said, "Imam, to be honest, I'm a little scared. And you should know that there are other doctors who are called up. And they also have children at home. We could really get out of this." I said, "Do you want to get out of it?" He said, "Absolutely not." I said, "So what's going to give you the koach?" He says, "Because I know that this is the shlichut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know that this is exactly, not only where, but exactly why. Mi odeya le'ikaz otikaz al mahut. That I was both an officer and a doctor, and now I'm going to go in. And I'm going to inspire those soldiers with the great Torah. I'm going to go, and yes, we're going to fight. Lo b'chayav lo b'koach ki ebruhi." And notice this menorah. This menorah that represents the ruach of Hashem. Well, if that's the case, then why does it need so many decorative facets? Why do we need these shtudim? And obviously, this is a perfect time, the transition from Shvat to Adar, to ask about the significance of every aspect of this menorah and how we take it with us. So in fact, we know Tu B'Shvat really is an opportunity to revisit beginnings. I remember after October 7 thinking, "Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, we don't just need another Simchas Torah, we need another Yom Kippur, because we really messed up this one. You heard about what happened in Tel Aviv, Jews breaking up and speedos with other Jews. We need another Yom Kippur." And then I realized, no, we don't need another Yom Kippur. First, we need another Rosh Hashanah. After all, we only blew the shofar one day of Rosh Hashanah. Chazal say that we need 2 days, because the first day we recognize Hashem as Melech, as God of judgment. On the second day, we basically arouse the Kadosh Baruch Hu to lift himself from Kisei Hadin to Kisei Harachamim. Apparently, we didn't have that opportunity to be able to literally transfer HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Kisei Harachamim. So Hashem, we need another Rosh Hashanah. Good news. Every Rosh Chodesh is considered a living Rosh Hashanah, but particularly the Masechet Rosh Hashanah. The next Rosh Hashanah after Aleph Tishrei is Aleph Shvat, according to Beit Shammai, and Tu B'Shvat, according to Beit Hillel. So sure enough, Tu B'Shvat came and said, "Wow, what an amazing opportunity. An opportunity not only to celebrate the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot, but as we find Rav Chaim HaKohen, the primary Talmud of Rav Chaim Vital, let's say that Tu B'Shvat really is another Rosh Hashanah for us. Because we know in Sefer Dvarim, when we besiege a city, we're not allowed to cut down fruit trees. Ki ha'adam who eats hasadeh. How many people here went to Marasha growing up? Excellent. Again, remember, nitzanim, shimim, ilanot. We really are. We grow together with the trees. And as such, we find beautifully that this is an opportunity for us not just to count the age of the tree for trumot and monstros and orla, but for us to take a step back, for us to look at ourselves. And finally, in the month of Shvat, we really did have an opportunity to begin to process a little what had happened over the past 4 months. Our sons, many of whom started coming home, could tell us some of the stories, miraculous stories. Again, very troublesome stories. And all of a sudden, we begin to reflect, as Rotarik had said, it's not enough to talk about the geopolitical situation, but to begin to reflect a little spiritually upon ourselves as we objectively look at the trees as ourselves. And that's why the Maharal says, yes, we really are like the trees, recognizing that we're rooted in the ground, knowing that there's a lot going on, also the xylem and the phloem, but ultimately, we look at the trees and we recognize the branches are always growing upwards, always aspiring towards Shamayim, just like all of us. So this is what brings us back to a message of Shvat that leads us into Adar, because just like Zachariah had seen the menorah and Akash Baruch Hu implored of him to atara with, we know that the first Navi to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or I should say the second after Amos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asks this very rare question, is none other than Yirmiyahu. And albeit Hashem implores Amos once Ma'atarue and Zechariah once Ma'atarue, Hashem asks Yirmiyahu three times Ma'atarue, teaching us that Yirmiyahu was living during even more confusing times. Everything looks not only gray, very ambiguous. People are giving very different messages. On one hand, Hananiah ben Azor is saying, 2 more years and Galut is over. That's it. It's not going to last 70 years. Everything is going to return. Everything is going to be fine and wonderful. Really, the world is great. And Yirmiyahu has been telling them, no, it's not. You've been sinning. You're being punished. The Galut is going to be 70 years before you return. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked Yirmiyahu during the 13th year of Yoshiyahu, when people are already beginning to repent, but there's still a lot of Avodah Zarah going on. He asked Yirmiyahu, after telling Yirmiyahu, you're going to be a Nabi of destruction, Lintots, Lintosh, Laharos, Lahavid. He then asked Yirmiyahu, Ma Ata Roeh? And Rashi explains, that's because Yirmiyahu, like Moshe Rabbeinu, had said, when Hashem said, okay, you're destined to be a Nabi, and Yirmiyahu replies, no, 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 he, lo yadati daber, I'm just an adolescent, I don't know how to speak. And he doesn't mean he doesn't know how to speak because he's an adolescent. Adolescents know how to speak very well, sometimes too well. But ultimately, he says, lo yadati daber, Hashem, I'm afraid I won't be able to process what I see. I'm afraid I won't be able to properly interpret and then articulate these messages to the audience. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let's give it a try. Ma ata roeh. And Yirmiyahu says, Makel shaken ani roeh. And Hashem responds, And then we go back to the message of the menorah. We understand that it's not just about the fire, it's about the shidim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu here asks Yirmiyahu, do you understand the message of the shaked? Do you understand the message of the almonds? And Yirmiyahu says, well, I know it's about the almonds. Hashem says, great, because the almonds blossoms very quickly, and therefore I'm going to bring my punishment very quickly. As Rashi says, based on the Midrash in Kohelet, just like man's eyes, the almond blossoms, but then withers after 21 days. Rashi says 21 days. We have 21 days. Hashem says, I'm bringing punishment very, very quickly between Shemas, Harbatalos, and Tishabah. You have 3 weeks, and that's it. Those are the days of the almond blossoming. And this is quite foretelling of the evil punishment that's yet to come. The good news, though, is that the Gemara in Bahoro tells us that there's something else that also blossoms, so to speak, over the course of 21 days, and that's the gestation of an egg. So if the almonds, which in the case of Yirmiyahu is going to bring punishment, here the egg foretells the beginning of life. And sure enough, the Gemara continues and tells us that Rabbi Yeshua was dealing with the philosophers of Greece, of Athens, and they brought him 2 eggs. And they said, okay, can you tell which egg came from the black hen and which egg came from the white hen? In other words, they basically were claiming that there are 2 deities, one deity who's in charge of punishment and another deity who's in charge of bringing good and blessing. And they told him, so can you tell, when you look at the good and the blessing, when you see these eggs, do you know who brought them, whether it's going to be for good or for bad? And Rabbi Yeshua responds, and he says, here, look at two cheeses. Don't look at two eggs. Because in Siberia, there could be a black, there could be a white. Cheese is white. In the end, he says, it can all be for good. He says, can you tell me which cheese came from the black goat and which cheese came from the white goat? Basically, they all come from the same source. And in the end, it in fact can be cheese. And the Maharshal explains, two goats, a black and a white goat, two goats. Ultimately, we believe and we know, wait, we have two goats. When do we have two goats? On Yom Kippur. But you know, during these days, in fact, between Rosh Hashanah and Hoshana Rabbah, also 21 days, we have two goats, and one represents the punishment, and one represents the kapara. But ultimately, it's the same God who tells us, you can transform the punishment into atonement. You can change the amens of punishment into amens of blessing and birth. It's up to you. It's not two gods, one who punishes and one who bestows blessing, but rather, it's one God who says, you decide what it's going to be. You have the bechira. You have the choice. Is good going to come from this, or is evil going to come from this? And therefore, the Imam Tabar explains, that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked of Yirmiyahu, and that's what he asked of Moshe, Mazeh Biyadcha. Why does he have to ask this rhetorical question? He says, because there are many different images all around. And the question is whether we can focus. And whether, as Moshe Rabbeinu understood, the key is his leadership, the mazeh. And whether in the case of Yirmiyahu, he saw many, many different ideas and pictures before him, he's able to identify. There's an idea of the shaked. And therefore, the Radak explains beautifully. He says, that's why Yirmiyahu didn't even see. He didn't see a branch that was blossoming before him. Rather, he saw a stick. And he was able to identify that this stick was about the almond grain. What a tzaddik. Thank you. And as such, the Radak tells us, Yirmiyahu understood that there's something about the shaked. He knows the message of the menorah. There's something about the amen. The Rambam explains, not just the amen, Yirmiyahu was able to identify that it's not a mateh, and it's not an anah, it's not a branch, or a staff of leadership, or a cane that's used to support, it's a makel that's used to strike. He understood that the amen, which represents the intensity of what can come, is going to come at this point in the form of a makel, in the form of punishment. But it doesn't have to be that way. Because we turn just 30 chapters later, source number 11, to Yirmiyahu Parak Vav Aleph, and we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyahu on the eve of the Korban, in the same parak where he says, Kol Rama Nishmani Hibachi Tamurim Rachel Mavakal Banan, Hashem says, yes, you are going into Galut, but don't worry, Yishtikva Nacharitech No Hashem, Yishtikva Nacharitech No Hashem, it's going to end up okay. And you're going to see something phenomenal. Kasher shakadati alehem l'tosh l'tosh l'haros l'habib, those exact same words from Parag Aleph. U'laharam kein eshkol alehem l'vnot l'ntoa. Because the shaked doesn't mean that it always has to be accompanied by a makel. The shaked is also on the menorah that represents the ruach of Hashem. The shaked represents that something can come very quickly and it's coming from God. And it can be, in fact, the punishment of a staff, but it could also be the birth of an egg. It could be life, and it could be building and planting. And therefore, when we look at the trees, when we look at ourselves, when we, in these 3 weeks, literally 21 days from Tu Bishvat to Zayin Atar, to the Yartzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, this is our time. This is the last week. Really, I'm getting a little nervous. These are the news we have two others. So we have a little bit more time, but this is the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take a step back. Everyone has been going and packing and missions and send this and send that, but now reflect. Look at the trees, look at ourselves and ask ourselves, what's going to blossom? What's going to come out of this? What's going to come out of this, literally, Ruach of Hashem? What's going to come out? Is it going to be the pouring of the almond blossom, the makel shaked? Or is it going to be something great? Hashem says, I could also bring the vnot v'lentua, the planting, the rebuilding, so quickly. I just have to share, because I'm sure Some of you who were in Eretz Yisrael, I know that some were in Eretz Yisrael, lots of quotes. So that morning was such a strange morning. It's not strange. We woke up to sirens, or we were in shul when we heard the sirens. We're in Yeshiva HaKotel. A few hours earlier, dancing through the night with Sefrei Torah. And I remember thinking, when we first saw men going out with their talisman and the boys in Yeshiva running to get their guns, my first thought was, this is really just a nightmare. And I know this nightmare because 50 years ago, that's how, even though I was only a few months old, that's how I always picture it. That's how the Yom Kippur War is being described. So I'm really just sleeping. I didn't get so many hours of sleep. It must be that I'm just seeing this nightmare before our eyes because we were all in shock. It really was just the shock. Hashem says, don't worry, because one of these days, I don't know when it's going to be, but we're going to wake up in shock again. Whether we're going to be in the middle of Minyan again, whether we're going to be dancing with Sefrei Torah, without Sefrei Torah. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I can do the same thing. You now experience what it was to wake up to a nightmare. So now you know that you can wake up to the dream of dreams. Now you can wake up and see the fulfillment. But it's not going to happen on its own. You have to first be able to see it. And then you have to be able to act upon it. And that's part of what this season is all about. To be able to celebrate the unseen. The Yerushalmi tells us, based on famous Machloket, with regard to when the world was created, we know that gestation begins, certainly for, not just for trees, it begins before, but before an ibor, before an umbar, a fetus, comes into reality, and before we can even detect the fetus in an ultrasound that still is a zygote or a blastula, we know that things are happening. Meiosis, mitosis, there's the infusion of a nishmat chayim. Rabbi Natan explains, that's how we can understand the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua with regard to when the world was created. Was it Tishrei or was it Nisan? So Rabbi Natan says, it could be that Hashem already thought of creating the world already in Tishrei, and things are just forming. And you really see it agriculturally. Things are forming under the ground, and when are they going to blossom? They're going to blossom in Nisan. There's Geula that's already underway. The question is, can we see it? And can we act upon it? And can we recognize it? So the B'nai Yisachar says, he says, if that's the case, then wow, if Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the birth, then that means that Tu B'Shvat is 40 days before the creation, and 40 days and before the creation, then that's when God plants it. In other words, Tu B'Shvat is already in the planning. In this case, during Shnat HaYibur, that means Shushan Purim is going to be the day that already sets everything in motion for the birth of Geula in Nisan, which is why it's important to recognize that it's not about what we're going to wait and see. We have to ask ourselves, in fact, Ma anachnu rovim? What do we see and how are we responding? Do we see the potential for blossoms? Do we see the potential for the fruits? Do we see the potential for, in fact, the rebuilding? Hashem says that really is up to us. It's up to us to be able to see and identify, to change ourselves. Rav Hirsch says this beautifully. And it was strange, and I never came across this, Rav Hirsch, until this year in his Pirusha Magalei Hashana. He says something remarkable. He says, look at the trees on Tu B'Shvat. He says, when you look, you wonder, why am I celebrating this? After all, nothing is really blossoming right now. I should wait until Chodesh Nisan. I should wait until I see the actual blossoms on the tree. And then I should go out and say, Berachat Ha'ilah notes. He says, well, what can you do? The Masoret HaYehudit HaAtika Matzviya B'Faneinu Al Ha'ilah Not HaKorchim Obi Tuman Shleim Mekorach Meshulamim. Our Masoret implores of us to celebrate the unseen, to look at the trees while they're still covered with snow. Wow, there aren't any blossoms. Ma'atikas sofitanu, v'locheshet v'ozneinu musar haskel. And the trees are whispering musar to us. Hine ela ha'ilanot chogegim kvar hayom yom chashuto shel ha'mikala. The trees are already celebrating their birth in the spring. بعد لمحت هكليتها هكفوها هشتسوقها هكفوها بعد صليت. They know that all you see is the bare tree, sometimes just the peel of what's about to grow. Everything is frozen, everything that surrounds the ilanot. But just know that underneath, gestation has already begun. Hechilu kvar, v'fachot b'mlo chuman l'chayim chadashim ra'anim. The tree knows what we don't see, and that is that there is new life. There is a new reality. There is redemption around the corner. And even though deep down we know this, it's difficult to be able to recognize. And that's why, Tzu ru'u otam, aniyim sa'arim lo ruchamu, b'yom huledet ha'avid, tzumo shachore b'tu b'shvat. Go out and recognize the beginning of change. V'yimei, the next paragraph, shows Tzu ha'pi wrote. He says, but look at the trees now. And he's going to describe the trees in harsh terminology, almost as if the trees had been massacred. Look at his terminology. It looks as if the fruit had been literally pillaged, picked off. Ha'arim kamshu v'nashru v'shalachet. All of the alim, all of the tree, all of the leaves have already been taken down. The winds have come, and the storms have come, the noazot, the strong winds have come, and literally taken away every last leaf. Nitzfu, enough, achar enough, and then branch after branch has fallen. Nitznu et klipata eitzurim shita, karua litzarim. They have taken even the peeling of the tree, the bark, has been taken off, literally cut off and torn apart. Yaruchi tekor, and then the frost comes. Shepagu, v'leshet leita ilanot, and is going to infiltrate all the way to the heart of the tree, his farua language, for notes. And then there's going to be matar and barad, batuha v'mervadik, titim shal karad v'shelek, kitruva taitzim, v'mitumiko eber, v'mitrach v'ma'arad, v'ta'om v'neged, t'tumu ketem v'chor. And whatever is left of the tree is going to go swaying back and forth. It's lost its way. It doesn't know what to do. And literally what happens over time, the tree becomes bent over. When you look at it, it literally looks like the tree has undergone a massacre. And I look at this and I think, oh my, we look and look at the trees. Literally, that's what's happened to us. Am Yisrael, we've been massacred. 136 of our leaves are withering away in Gaza right now. What do we do as a people? How do we look at this tree? We're bent over. We really are. We should be, shouldn't we? So despondent, so destroyed. And yet, Ba'al Av Kosot Lo Nishbru Ha'ilam. And yet with all this, the trees are unbroken. Lo Ramach HaKumatan. The Choref has not destroyed them. Kol HaPoranut HaZol, because we all know that every branch that's fallen, every branch that was taken away, every fruit that was cut too short, every life that was taken. Now it's the time for pruning more. There were some branches that were just torn off at a Nova festival, in Kibbutz Re'im, Kfar Aza, everywhere. But then we sent in our sons. And then we started pruning these trees. When you prune trees, many of those also fall. But what happens as a result is that we know that the tree is just going to get stronger. And we know that this leads ultimately to the beautiful blossoming of the tree. What do we see? What do we see now? We see these trees that have life in them. We see these trees that are going to blossom and grow. We see so many weddings right after a funeral. And we know that with every child that's born and is named Be'eri and Re'im and Oz and Chayim, we know this is what's going to lead to the ultimate Tachiyatan Chag Ha'aviv, to the renewal in the month of Nisan. But it doesn't happen on its own. We have to believe As Rish Lakish tells us based on the pasuk, "Vaya emunat itach chosen shor chokma v'dea emuna zesitres vayim." And we have to believe, and believing means planting. Believing means even when you don't see a result right away, you plant and you go and you invest. And believing means that you believe that the future of Am Yisrael is an Eretz Yisrael, and you believe not just Am Yisrael Chai, but that we are going to be more glorified than ever. And this is the next step in the unfolding of Geula. And therefore, if you truly believe, then you invest and you plant and you open that conversation. For not when I'm going to make Aliyah, but how am I going to make this happen? This is the time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm waiting for you. What do you see? What's going to come in 21 days? Is it going to be a Makil Shakir, or is it going to be the Shita of the Notes of the Torah? That's totally up to you. Hashem says, this is the time. I want to see how you're going to respond. It's so clear that these are Chavlei Leida. These are the pains of, the birth pains of Mashiach, where on one hand, we can only breathe through them, but the truth is that we can also plant and keep leaping. I have to share with you that a few weeks ago, by chance, I was at a garage in Yerushalayim, and someone gave me a ride. He said, I really need to get to Gush Etzion. I said, I'm going to Gush Etzion. He said, I don't believe it. He started crying. He said, what hashkacha? We're talking along the way. He says, what do you think about the war? What do I think about the war? Lots to think about. And yes, I feel the unfolding of Geula. He says, really? I think maybe it's a sign from God that we should buy our tickets and move to Chutz La'aretz. I said, you don't know what we're talking about. And I said, you definitely have not studied Tanakh. He said, you're right, I didn't. And I didn't study Tanakh. I said, no, no, no. This definitely is a Makil Shakir that we have experienced. But Hashem says, Kishim Sheshakadati, this is the season. Hashem says, just keep believing and planting. Just plant. And you're going to see the results. The Chazon Sofer tells us beautifully, especially for entering the month of Adar. I have to share with you that I turned to a few rabbinic leaders, because I think that they're the ones who really have to lead the way. And I turned and I told them, Niyodeh, in La'id Chazon Tikata Mumachot, you're in positions of leadership. Go, lead the way. The Chazon Sofer says, this isn't just the call of Esther. This is the message of Purim. He says, can you imagine the third year of Ahasuerus? I don't know, he's in a state of inebriation, assassinates his wife. Now he's going to bring in all these women. Terrible, terrible. It's not a beauty contest, it's a concentration camp for girls. And lo and behold, Esther survives. Esther is chosen in year number 7. And 5 years down the line, after she's clearly assimilated into the Persian government, there is an anti-Semitic decree of genocide of the Jews. And Mordechai turns to her and says, let me see. And look back. Did that make any sense 5 years ago? That you, no offense, Esther, but you out of everyone was chosen? Really, me or them? Every single step along this way. Yes. The success of diaspora and Jewry to where it is, to our religious freedom, but at the same time, recognizing where Israel is. Kasher haya b'neitz p'urim haragat gashmi b'mikat aser, b'chom hasibot she'ez b'ibu l'davar hazeh ha'kol haya hachana l'hatzalat Yisrael. Every single stage of this puzzle, Hashem was planting another seed. Every part was another component. Amal kotim shana aser b'tamamal ha'in anu m'kinim. But we didn't understand. We didn't understand every single part. Rak mamini. But even during those years, we believe, ki bundi safek lo da'ar miku. Nothing is happening by chance. Rak mimenu tam kamus v'na'alam. Just sometimes, we don't fully understand. These are these months where we look, and no one can give clear answers, but that's where emunah comes in. We have faith. We believe what Hashem says. Now's the time. Look at the menorah. And what do you see? How do you take the spirit with you? You keep asking yourselves, what will be, what can be, and we can make that happen. Hashem says, look at the shakir. Look at the shakade. Look at the trees right now. It's only the almond tree that is blossoming and sprouting. And you have 21 days to internalize this message and understand that now's the time to reflect. Now's the time to start planting. Now's the time to recognize that we can do everything in our power to help facilitate the next stage of the blossoming of Kula. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us it's true that we don't understand in this world. We say for the good things, Shafianu and Atoba means it. For the bad things, we say Zayam Hamet. But the day comes that we look back and we realize it was all really for the good. It's the same goat that produces both the cheese. The black goat and the white goat make cheese. And it can all, in fact, be for the ultimate good if we make it that way. The Tzlach, No, the Yehuda Rabbi Yechezkel Lanza says, "Hadam olam hazeh, ino mikin hazavar liyishlo." Even when things look so bad, like the chole, he puts on a bandage, but the chacham understands that even the worst of the pain that Am Yisrael is enduring really can be for good, and we believe that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is at the same time wrapping us up with love and giving us that support, so that things will be good la'acharito. People ask, how do you see women who have lost their husbands, their sons, getting up and planting again? Jen Early, a good friend, Hannah says, my son hasn't fallen. He's risen up with the chariots of fire at Eliyahu HaNavi. And now, his vineyard that he planted is just going to continue to grow. And we're going to see these fruits. As Moshe Rabbeinu just saying before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Yashir, the Midrash tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry. When we were being oppressed in Mitzrayim, it looked like things were just getting worse. Lama herala am hazeh, why are you making it worse? And I complained. And then not only did you give the Egyptians makot, not only did you judge them, but here by Yam Suf, now everything is so clear. You brought our enemy out to us just so that we can see them drowning before our eyes. As Yashir Moshe, now we see Hashem, that this was all pre-planned. As Ani Mishabechacha. Now I can sing that song. As Yashir Moshe. The Malbim tells us, look at the Shakade. And the Malbim already knows Perek Lamed Aleph. When he says on Perek Aleph, Obazeh Amar, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu, what do you really see? Do you really just see a Makel Shakade? Do you really just see evil and punishment? Do you really just see all the horrors before you? And I implore each and every one of you not to focus on that, to focus on the good, to focus on the achdut, to focus on the packaging of the devils, to focus on the shirim and the zmirot and the tilim and the tfilot and the chasadim. To focus on that and to keep planting that and to make that last. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ma tarweh. Yirmiyahu says, Makel shaked. Hashem says, yeah, you saw well because I'm going to bring it quickly. But then again, 30 chapters later, I'm going to bring good very quickly. So the Malbim says, Hashkidah hazot. So that even the Makel shaked, which is going to come very quickly, is ultimately going to lead to Bat Yisrael Bat Zalatam. You're going to see tremendous salvation. Even this Makel Shaked is going to lead to the Shkidah, to the blossoming of beautiful fruit. And therefore, we end with the message of the menorah. That doesn't end in Parsha Truma, but we find the menorah again in Parsha Ha'avotcha. Hashem says, look at the menorah, look at the Shaked, be reminded that during the season of those downtrodden trees, but know that those trees and those branches are aspiring heavenward, and they're going to blossom with the most beautiful fruits, and we're going to see the most remarkable, sudden fruits of redemption. In the meantime, stand tall. Rise up, literally, to light those candles of the menorah. Look at the shakeh, look at the almonds each time, and ask yourself, what are you going to plant? What are you going to build? What extra mitzvah are you going to do? What's your next step in catalyzing the stages of redemption? Rashi tells us, Bahalotcha, to teach us not only that But you can't suffice with just lighting. You have to insist, and you have to work harder. And if you've been doing such wonderful things, especially in this B'nai Yeshua community, mamash, helping Am Yisrael, do a little more. Say another parak of Tehillim. I'll share with you that every parak of Tehillim that I say, I begin with Hashem, please send this one to our Chayal, Asher David. Send this one to our son-in-law, Yitzchak. Send this one to our son, Shmuel. See, and I'm going to include a picture, it's like in Star Wars, that every parak of Tehillim forms a lightsaber protection over each one. So I say, Hashem, you know what? Send this parak of Tehillim to the Chatufim, and send this these parak of Tehillim to all the Chayalim, this brigade right now, those that are in Lebanon on the border, those that are still in Chan Yunis, those that are going down to Rafiach. And then with every chesed and every hafreshat chalah to do the same. On Lil Shabbat, I started lighting two more candles. Hashemur v'zahor for all the chatufim and all the chayamim that can't light their Shabbat candles. And we sing extras and we wrote. And we cry and we sing Chazei Kiryati El Elokeinu Yom V'hashied Nevati Simcha V'hikayon. We say Hashem send these new road to the tunnels of Gaza so that maybe the hostages can hear them. Do a little more of everything that we do. But especially here, do a little more. Fill out that application. Do a little more. Start investing. Because when people say, by the way, that they're waiting for Mashiach, first they not only is that a cop out, that's the worst time. You're not going to be able to sell your houses and live in fields and see it. When Mashiach comes, and you certainly won't be able to afford anything. Forget about Yerushalayim, not even Karmadad. Good luck, you know, the areas of the Negev, Bezras Hashem. Now's the time. And I mean literally now, between Shabbat and Adar. These are the times to be able to rise up, to invest, to know that there is a lot happening that we can't even see. A lot of puzzle pieces that are going to come together very soon. O Darshu Rabbeinu Mikan Shema Allah Hita Lefnei HaMeoran Shalah HaKohen Omid Omitiv. The last message of the Menorah is that there's a stair. There's a stair that requires of us before we light the Menorah to rise. Hashem says, you can't just look at the Menorah. You have to pick yourselves up. Pick yourselves up, literally, kumi omi. Pick yourselves up from the ashes. Pick yourselves up from sorrow. Pick yourselves up from the barren winter. And plant. Look at the shekel. Make sure that you see the shkida of geula that is yet to come. Lo b'chayo, v'lo b'kolach. Ki im b'ruchi, amar Hashem tzvachot. Chodesh Tov.
I'm going to go to the next one.